You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app, this is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And happy Friday to us all. Welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. You can be a part, 855-752-4842. James Santel, former U.S. attorney, host of Amicus, a law review here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Saturdays, that's tomorrow, 9 to 11 a.m. Thank you for coming around, Jim. Jess on the board, taking your calls, playing the tunes, doing all the hard work. Thank you, Jess.
You're welcome.
The mayor of New York City, Jim. When I saw this one coming down, I was like, oh, man, I got to talk to Jim. And as expected, the mayor, Eric Adams, his name, he's can't wait to present his side of the story and defend himself in the court of law. But, you know, when the SDNY comes knocking, I think they have a pretty good percentage rate of conviction, Jim.
They do. Absolutely. And again, this is a big story, not just for him, certainly for New York, the state, the city, but all of us. This is the biggest city in our nation, and it has consequences. Again, we'll talk a little bit about the D word once again, deterrence, right? The other reason why the department brings this. But, yep, Eric Adams. Remember, that also, he's a retired police captain. He's a state senator. He's a Brooklyn borough president. One office vowing to combat what? Crime, right? Exactly.
Well, right. First, the other crime.
No, not those things that I may do with, oh, by the way, Turkey and a few other countries over there. First mayor in New York history to be indicted while in office. And I have to add that condition, of course, because we know other people who have been indicted. Oh, for example, Rudy Giuliani, who had his own bad news this week in another setting. But first mayor of New York City to be indicted while sitting in office. That's no significant thing. And if you think that the Department of Justice doesn't always also consider that, that is the consequences of that. They do. It's not the guiding principle in the end, but they're aware of the fact that you are just like indicting the president. You get authorization at very high levels because you know that that's going to have
consequences. So the fact that he is a sitting mayor, I mean, they take that into consideration. You think they're more cautious in that regard then?
I don't think they're more cautious in terms of substance because, once again, Department of Justice, led by this concept, no one is above the law, right? We don't have kings. We don't have regents in our nation. But are they aware of the fact, again, that they want to make certain that if you charge someone in that position, to your very good point, which you just articulated, that it's there. And while there is probable cause, obviously, based upon the indictment here, you've got these charges, again, of bribery, conspiracy, fraud, soliciting illegal foreign campaign donations, all of that. You don't charge that through the grand jury. Probably, if forced to do so, they will not be. This case will also go to trial sometime in the next couple of years, but they could probably try this case tomorrow because it's that compelling. You get everything in place before you charge somebody in this position. It does not affect the decision substantively to do it or how you charge it. It's just ensuring that you are ready to go and that there's no embarrassment here. You've turned over all the possibilities here. You've talked to a lot of people who've said, well, gee, what we know, again, we'll talk more about those specific charges here. What was he doing in Turkey? Why was he going, you know, is there any other, is there a legitimate explanation for that? What about these monies coming in? What about this particular building that the Turkish authorities wanted to have authorized, right? Is there any other reason that that may happen?
I mean, if you can't use your influence of giving money to a politician to, you know, bypass the fire inspection on a new building.
Right.
What are we even doing, Jim?
What is the mayoral position for anyway in New York, right? And so again, this is no small thing. Also, of course, this is the story that will continue to give you lots of grist, my friend, on this program and others for more discussion. Because while they're charging him, plainly we know many, many people in the neighborhood there. We've got academics, the people in charge of schools, the police commissioner, many other folks around him also have resigned, have left. They're indicating they're retiring
rats
soon.
Fleeing ship, right?
And we don't know exactly what that could be. Some of them may themselves likely going to be on the receiving end of charges. We did have the Department of Justice saying Again, more people promising to hold more people accountable. That's the U.S. attorney describing this just yesterday. Wow. And so there'd be more coming. And this may or may not be related to Turkey and these kinds of things. Probably not. The signal that I got a couple of days, weeks ago is when your chief counsel announces on a Saturday night that she is leaving, she can no longer tolerate any of this. Plainly, that indicates that you are no longer taking my advice to stop the criminality, to stop doing this. Probably it's too late at that point. No. She departs on a Saturday night. This is not one of those things where you get the cake around the water cooler and say, gee, no. Best wishes to you as you go on.
She didn't get the watch.
No. She did not, right? She is out of there because she does not want to be John Dean. She doesn't want to be a part of this at all. Well, is she almost certainly also testifying before a grand jury?
Right.
You bet she is. And a lot of other people there have been a part of the process here. Again, you don't do this until all that's ready to go. Not to say the investigation can't continue. Often happens when you announce these kinds of things. People say, well, wait a minute. I had this peculiar thing happen with respect to the mayor, and they see this in the news.
There's more creep going on.
Exactly. Yeah. And they come forward and they say, well, you may not know about this, but with respect to this building or that particular graft or gratuity, I've got more information about that as well. This is a story that's not going to go away anytime soon. The other part of this is, boy, shades of Donald Trump in his response, right?
Yes.
He is taking this right out of his out of Donald Trump's playbook.
I knew if I stood up for the people of New York that I would become a target, and a target I have become.
Absolutely. And in particular, again, the bad civics on this, because I have been so strong when it comes to immigration here in New York,
yes.
The administration has come back, and they're behind this. Again, I'm paraphrasing what he has said. No, Mr. Mayor, that's not how it works. You've got 26 people in a grand jury. You've got a Department of Justice doing the President of the United States of America. The Alejandro Mayorkas, the Homeland Security chief, is not directing this. This is not as a result of that. But once again, relying upon the American population not to know that. And he says, see, they're after me because of my good policies on your behalf. Who does that sound like, right?
Sounds like someone who's guilty, man. That's what it sounds like to me. James Santel, former U.S. attorney, joining me in studio. Jim, before we get, dive down into some of the charges, one that really got me, and I get the grill, payoff here and there, but the $10 million in matching campaign funds, to me, was just like, whoa, that's big money. What do we know about that side of it?
Right, exactly. And again, we'll get more from it. There's an awful lot in the indictment itself. But what we know, of course, is that in addition to just the relationships with these foreign countries, Turkey plainly at the top of the list, we've got an awful lot of what's just downright graft. And that includes that kind of thing. Plainly, this is happening long before he was a mayor as well. We're going back just under 10 years, I believe. And a lot of that has to do with, again, it goes back to money in campaigns, right? This is the source of all of our problems here. I've got to have a lot of money, and so I'm going to solicit that from people who can give it to me legitimately if they follow the rules, but also should not be getting that from foreign entities, from others who are not entitled to, under our laws, give it to me. That is a violation. And the point there, Dom, is not only for him and other people in the campaign, but this is also sending a very strong message to those overseas entities, the Turks over there, the other five or six countries who are also tangentially or directly involved in this, basically saying, stay out of our business. This is none of your business. Do not get involved in elections in America. That's the message the department is sending. In this case, we know as well the attorney general is sending the same message once again with Russia, right? In this present election, indicting people, imposing sanctions.
And Iran today as well.
Absolutely. Same kind of thing. Stay off. Stay out of our area. And by the way, if you decide to come into our system, we will charge you as well. And if you show up at JFK someday, we will arrest you. And you'll be subject to our criminal prosecution.
Come on, some Russians or some Iranians. I mean, good luck. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
You mentioned some of those crimes going back some time. What about the statute of limitations on it? How are they able to go back and address those things?
Sure. So in the general rules, again, depending upon the specific statute, usually it's 5 years and sometimes 10. But if you've got a conspiracy, as you probably have here, more than one person are coming together and saying, let's do this. Let's get the money together. And the conspiracy continues over time. And the smallest events can continue that conspiracy into the present. You continue to get monies. You continue to do things to cover up what you have done. All those things extend that time. Mm-hmm. And again, I'm very confident that with it, the U.S. attorney there, Department of Justice, the public corruption section at Maine Justice in Washington has scoured this to address that issue, identifying in those counts exactly what can be charged. There may be some things that, again, can be introduced in evidence, what's called prior bad acts, that may not be charged, but nonetheless can be a part of the trial in this case. So lots of things that, even if they may sound a little bit old, which can also be a part of his defense. He can say, gee, this is not recent. Why are we going back that far? The answer is,
because I got away with it, right, man. I can't go back that far.
Right, right. But the legal answer, of course, is, oh, yes, we can. And the legislature, the federal legislature, our Congress has said, this is the statute of limitations. And for that purpose, you can, in fact, be held responsible for things you have not done recently.
855-752-4842. Get some callers in while we have a moment here. Dick from Madtown, you are up. Welcome, Dick. What do you got?
Well, I guess I get all that, but I will say this. I think that Eric Adams is probably, with all we've seen, is guilty. But doesn't anybody see the irony in the fact that this moved through the system so damn fast as opposed to Trump? I mean, come on. This is a joke in my mind. And you know what I would suggest to Eric Adams? Get William Barr for an attorney, and you'll be free. The system is screwed up.
I think he's talking to you, Jim.
Right? I think that's
I mean, didn't you work for Bill Barr?
I think there's about 30 years in my history when, on two occasions, the first iteration of Bill Barr and then the second one, actually I did not work for him on the second term here. But the first time around, when, as I've said to you multiple times, Dom, I thought he was kind of a middle-of-the-road kind of a guy. Something happened to him. But you're right. And here's the other piece of it. You now do have Eric. I mean, talk about strange bedfellows, to the very good caller's point. You've got Eric Adams allying himself with Donald Trump. And Donald Trump even saying out there, well, gee, you know, kind of join my group here. Not entirely impossible that if you get an attorney general, again, this is a federal charge, you get an attorney general comes in and says, you know what, I don't like any of this, and you can bring prosecutions to an end. Inappropriately, I would say illegally, without a proper understanding of the rule of law, but can that be done? This is a federal case. A president in the future could direct an attorney general to bring this to an end.
Or as Mega is probably already saying, Eric Adams for president 2028. 855-752-4842. Come back. We'll grab some more of your calls. Join us. And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. Happy Friday to us all. 855-752-4842. James Santel in studio. Last segment, Jim, thank you for sticking around.
Delighted to be here as always.
We got some callers that want to address the New York City mayor issue. Let's get to David from Mequon. You are up, David. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, good evening, gentlemen. Really quickly, you know, the thing is, so, James, you mentioned that this goes back way before he was even mayor. And what's interesting is then he should have never even had the opportunity, in my mind, to even had been elected mayor, to be honest with you, if that's the case. It should have been brought a lot sooner. That being another thing, I would compare that to, unfortunately, Milwaukee's had some very similar, not to the degree of what the mayor end of things, but we had the city attorney, was it Terman Spencer? Mm-hmm. There was all sorts of shenanigans going on at City Hall.
Yep.
MPS with Keith Polsley. I mean, I know that he resigned, but the fact that, you know, the MPS has not submitted any financial information like they were supposed to in time. Where did the hundreds of millions of dollars go from the feds? I mean, there's just a lot of weird stuff. And I think people have to realize there needs to be, you know, I think transparent, I don't care if you're Republican or Democrat. It just, there has to be more transparency as to what's actually happening rather than getting it after the fact when the damage has been done. And I certainly remember with the whole Tom Amant scandal with Milwaukee County, and the Milwaukee County residents are still paying for that, way back when, decades ago.
Right. David, you make a great point, too. And it's all about that. And again, talking about the things that prosecutors think about, I always think about the Rod Blagojevich situation. That
Chicago.
Exactly, right? Basically selling Barack Obama's Senate seat. You know, at some point, you say, okay, I've got enough evidence. I've got to bring this forward because I've got to stop the bad things from happening, David, which is really what you're talking about. My recollection is that here, a lot of this stuff began to percolate up a little over a year or so ago with respect to Eric Adams. And so people may have been out there knowing about it, but we did have some sense of this. And then what happens, of course, is you start seizing phones, you start searching places, and you discover, oh my gosh, this has been going on for 8 or 9 years. Again, not in any way to justify the length of time that has passed and the damage done, candidly.
Well,
to
people
the
get away with things until
absolutely,
they don't,
right?
I mean, right? And if you're not aware of the crime, and they're good at the crime, they can stay under the radar for quite some time.
And it requires people to come forward and say, you know what, I may not be the only one, but I know this happened. And so that issue of timeliness of investigations, prosecutions, and charging them, it's, David, I could not agree more. It's an all-important issue because, once again, it goes to, especially for public officials, they're continuing to do this. Again, Eric Adams is still the mayor of New York to this day. That's another controversy that's out there right now. Should he resign or not? Will the governor, will Governor Hochul, she is the one person who can get him out of office. What is she going to do? Not a happy position for her either.
In an election year for herself as well.
Exactly. All those kinds of things you need, I shouldn't say weigh and balance. You need to do the right thing. You need to ensure that today, tomorrow, there's integrity. And sometimes that requires having just enough evidence to say, okay, now we can charge this. It may not be all completely there. We can still produce this before trial and get it in place. But there is enough here to say we've got a triable, winnable case. And to prove that this particular person engaged in some kind of illegal conduct, the issue of timing is no small matter.
And an active, engaged citizenry will help along those
lines.
As well. 855-752-4842. Cam from Appleton, you're up. Welcome, Cam. What do you got?
Hey, I think that the Eric Adams stuff is, I'm not looking to put on a tinfoil hat, but I think it's convenient that it's around when the stuff with Diddy is progressing, right? Because this would be something that Trump would need, the media to push out the Diddy story while he would be in the spotlight. Because do you know how Diddy and Trump were involved as business partners in the, I think, 80s?
No, Cam, I'm not aware, but I don't know if I want to go there with you. I would suggest this, that perhaps this investigation would take away some of the wind in the sails of Donald Trump's concern and all the Republicans and megas that the DOJ is weaponized. Well, you're going after, you know, the black mayor of New York City.
Absolutely.
For his crime and the former white president. I mean, when this crime happened, Jim, they go after it.
Absolutely. And that too, that, as we've talked before, that should not be a part of it. And the instruction to America should be, look, this is a Department of Justice that's also prosecuting, oh, by the way, the son of the president. He's going to be sentenced in December.
Hunter,
Both tax and gun charges in December on two coasts here. We've got Senator Menendez, also a Democrat, being prosecuted. Now we've got Eric Adams. This is a Department of Justice that should, every single Department of Justice, regardless of who is in the White House a few blocks away, should be doing this based not upon political perception and do they know where the political proclivities are? Absolutely. Is it premised upon that? No. And it supports exactly what you said, Dom, which is you look at the Department of Justice and you say, well, gee, if they're also prosecuting the Democrats, including family members of the president, Maybe, just maybe, the prosecution of this Republican candidate named Donald Trump, maybe that's all a part of the same thing that's premised upon what he did and the crimes committed, as opposed to some vendetta that, again, Donald Trump has said once again in the wake of this indictment, yes, join my group right here. He said to Eric Adams, so good luck with you on this. And he's not being sarcastic about that. He's saying, be a part of this process to push back on the terrible government. Now you're victimized by this as well. Not true, Mr. Trump. Not true at all.
Last 60 seconds, Jim. Your show coming up tomorrow, 9 to 11 a.m. What topics are we talking about?
Yeah, absolutely. These kinds of things, a little more digging more deeply into some of this, but also noting something, as we often do, in the international area. There's a huge, very significant criminal trial going on right now in Paris. And it has to do with these allegations that for about a decade, a fellow named Dominique Pellicot, again, this is horrific to talk about, viciously raped his wife and 50 other people involved in this. It's a huge, huge sexual assault matter. Lessons for America also about responding to this kind of conduct and doing it in a way that is meaningful to the population and deterring this kind of conduct. We're going to talk a lot about that tomorrow.
James Santel, former U.S. attorney, host of Amicus, a law review tomorrow, 9 to 11. Thank you, Jim. We'll be tuning in. We'll be right back, 855-752-4842.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you for listening. Be a part, 855-752-4842. Want to thank James Santel for joining me on the Fridays. It's a good time. Love talking all the legal issues with Jim. If you want to dive into some of those topics in greater detail, check out his show, Amicus, a law review on the Civic Media Radio Network, Saturdays 9 to 11 a.m. He will dive in tomorrow. That rape case in Paris is one of the sickest things I've read about here recently. So if you want a piece of that and how it actually applies to, you know, some of the things we got going on here, tune in to Jim, 855-752-4842. A couple of the other items I wanted to get to today. Donald Trump threatening Google over bad stories about him. Oh, no. And this goes to the authoritarian fascist mindset of this old man. As reported in the Raw story, as mentioned, he's going to threaten to prosecute Google because a conservative think tank didn't like the results of two search queries made on a single day. Oh, no. Maybe you should use Bing instead. Trump complained of illegal activity on his Truthy Social Friday afternoon, the source of which appears to be a Fox News report, complaining the search engine buried its content. Here is a quote from the former guy. It has been determined that Google has illegally used a system of only revealing and displaying bad stories about Donald J. Trump, some made up for this purpose, while at the same time only revealing good stories about Comrade Kamala Harris. This is an illegal activity, all caps, and hopefully the Justice Department will criminally prosecute them for this blatant interference of elections. Everything's election interference with this guy. The news article goes on. Trump's use of the passive tense allowed the former president to omit who made the determination, but his post arrived 2 days after a Fox report on the conservative think tank Media Research Center's findings. Now, according to Fox, the MRC Free Speech America researchers analyzed the September 6th search results of two separate searches, Donald Trump presidential race 2024 and Kamala Harris presidential race 2024. The think tank then professed itself outraged, I tell ya, that the top results came from quote-unquote left-wing media outlets such as the New York Times and the Washington Post. I mean, come on, left wing? Here's what founder Brent Bozell told Fox News. Google's search engine pushes left-wing media articles favoring Kamala Harris and slamming Donald Trump. Don't trust Google searches. All right. I mean, if that's, yeah, don't trust Google. Don't trust the Google searches. A Google spokesperson dismissed the study in a statement to Fox News. Quote, both campaign websites consistently appear at the top of search for relevant and common search queries. The spokesperson said, this report looked at a single rare search term on a single day several weeks ago, and even for that search, both candidates' website ranked in the top results on Google. The slim data set did not stop Trump from asserting Friday that if reelected, he would take Google to court for not promoting content more complimentary to his campaign.
Now, I'm no lawyer. But that doesn't seem to quite add up.
I don't know how the algorithms work, but, you know, good luck with that one, Trump.
Good luck. Have fun.
Here we go. Here's what he wrote. I will request their prosecution at the maximum levels.
Maximum.
When I win the election and become president of the United States. So he's going to sue Google because he didn't like where he was placed at the end of the search results. The authority, beyond the ridiculousness of the story, the authoritarian in him, the fascist in him, he can't have it. And he's going to go after Google? Okay. Okay. 855-752-4842. We also have some polling numbers we want to get out. We've got some callers. Let's get to them. CJ, happy Friday. You are next. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Well, hi, Dom. Thanks for taking my call. I was talking to Jen there, and I don't know if you're aware of the ICE numbers. Are you aware what ICE stands for, the illegal division for what? Immigrants?
ICE, baby, what's your ICE? Point? Say what you're trying to say, CJ. Go ahead. Make your point.
Well, they just released numbers.
Okay.
Non-detained, non-citizens, convicted criminals released into the country. 425,000. 13,000 convicted of homicide. Actually, 13,099. 15,811 convicted of sexual assault that this administration ended catch and release, and they released into our country, Dom. That's from the ICE deputy director, the numbers. So, you know, remember that when you hear about, you know, that the border is closed and protected, because, you know, we heard that for 3 years from the border czar, and she's been lying to us. So, you know, to bring up some stats that really matter to people. I heard how upset you got that maybe cats and dogs were eaten, but 13,099 homicides. Convicted murderers released into our country.
I haven't seen the data, CJ, so thank you for bringing that to my attention. Now, do we know if those murderers, did they occur in their home countries? Is that what we're understanding, or were those murders that were done here?
One that was from Peru had 23 murder charges against him, convictions. So, and yes, some of these maybe were during Trump, but when they were caught...
Oh, wait, hang on, let's go back there for a second. Say that part again. Some of these were done during Trump?
The gotaways that they don't know about, but the ones they ended, Biden-Harris ended catch and release. They've been released into our country. Trump sent them back. So... you guys really got to stop watching CNN and MSNBC.
I should be watching what? NPR. Newsmax and Fox, who just settled. Newsmax settled for lying to their audience. CJ, is that who I should be listening? Should I be watching Fox News, who also settled for lying to their audience? CJ? So, no, thank you, man. And don't just dismiss the fact that you have your former guy accusing Haitian people that are here legally, working legal jobs, living their legal lives, lying about them murdering and eating cats and dogs, CJ. Do you see? I mean, I hear what you're saying.
That's what they heard from
the No, that's not what they heard, man.
That's a lie.
That's a lie, CJ. No, come on, man. If you say that you hear something and then you go and investigate it and then you ask, like, I don't know, the local Republican mayors, the local Republican governor, and ask, oh, my goodness, is this true? And then you are told specifically and point blank, no, it is not true. And you still go out and say that? You think that's acceptable. You think that's right. You think that's okay. You think Clay Higgins from Louisiana, calling them slapstick gangsters and Haitians the biggest crap hole in the Western Hemisphere, they better get out of the country before January? You think that's acceptable behavior, man? These are people that are here legally. These are people that you want, that the Republicans say they want legal immigration. They're here legally, man. They're doing jobs that you're not taking, CJ. And you can't just dismiss the fact that they're lying about the group of people, CJ.
You just proved my point. 13,099 murderers released.
We also have a lot of statistics that immigrants, specifically undocumented immigrants, commit crimes at a far lower rate than U.S.-born citizens.
That is true. And Harris said it. I know people like CJ like to laugh at it, but that is, in fact, true. And but good point, CJ. We'll dig into the numbers. And I don't know how many of those folks came over during Trump's administration. I guess we'll find out. And I don't know if they served their sentences. Did they serve their murder sentences in their home countries? Did they escape? You know, I'm not sure on the specifics, and we'll dig into it because I'd hate to speak out of turn. But that alone does not allow for you to dismiss when your candidate, Donald Trump, when your candidate, J.D. Vance, get on a debate stage or in a public setting and continually lie about an entire group of people that have nothing to do with the lies that you're talking about. And it's impacting not just them, it's impacting the services of those communities, bomb threats, you know, closing down schools, closing down municipal buildings. Why is that happening? Because of lies said by your candidate, CJ. That's despicable. It's not okay. And you should disavow that. And you don't. And people like Clay Higgins who get up there and claim these awful, racist, bigoted, terrible things about a group of people who just want to live their lives like everybody else, man. And then what, threaten that they better get their ass out of the country? Or what, CJ? They're here legally. What do you think Clay Higgins should do if they don't leave the country like he says? But what would you do, CJ? You think they don't deserve to be here? You don't think their legal status matters? You don't think that them working in the factories and the warehouses and in the shops in their local communities and, you know, providing for their family and paying their taxes and living the American dream, that somehow, some way, because your candidate lies his ass off about these folks eating cats and dogs, that somehow is okay. But when people sneak across the border, then that's more problematic for you. I don't buy it, man. And I think your guy is going to lose about it. I think you're going to lose on it. Here's some of the updated polling. Harris narrowly beating Trump in six key battleground states. A survey published late Thursday by Bloomberg and Morning Consult found the Democratic nominee has an edge over Trump in Nevada, Pennsylvania, Arizona, Michigan, North Carolina, and Wisconsin. Go Wisco. Now, according to The Hill, Harris has a 7-point lead over Trump in Nevada and a 5-point lead in Pennsylvania. In Arizona and Michigan, she has a 3-point lead over the GOP nominee. Now, her lead is apparently smaller in North Carolina, 50% to 48, and Wisconsin 51 to 48. The two White House contenders are tied in Georgia with 49% support apiece. Now, a majority of Harris's leads, with the exception of Nevada and Pennsylvania, are within the survey's margin of error. But again, I would say the trends are going in the right direction. Now, with Election Day less than 6 weeks away, Harris has an overall 3-point advantage over the former president among likely voters in all 7 swing states, bringing in 50% support to Trump's 47%. Now, when third-party presidential candidates were added to the survey, the vice president's lead expanded to 4 percentage points. Libertarian Party candidate Chase Oliver was at 2%, and Green Party candidate was at 1%. Pollsters also found that the topic of handling costs of everyday goods, the party nominees are nearly tied at 47-46 Harris. Harris had an 11-point cushion on likely voters on who voters trust to help the middle class. I think that's a devastating statistic. 11 points on who voters trust to help out the middle class. There's a lot of folks in the middle class. On immigration, to your point, CJ, one of the most important topics, the GOP nominee has the upper hand, holding a 14-point lead over Harris, according to the survey. Now, the Democratic hopeful has a 24-point gap on abortion, one of her strongest issues. I would mention also that 14-point lead that Trump has on Harris regarding immigration, that's come way down. That has come way down. Harris at the border today. The poll also indicates Harris has done more to introduce her policy stances to battleground state voters. 43% of likely voters in battleground states saying as much, around 40% said of the same of the GOP nominee. Nationally, Harris has a 4.1 percentage point lead over Trump, garnering 49.9 to his 45.8, according to The Hill. So there's more on that. Again, the trends are going in the right direction. Is immigration, migration, the border still a liability for Harris? Absolutely. But she's doing much better on those issues and leading in others. Folks, last segment, 855-752-4842. And thank you for listening to the Dom Salvia Show. Last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now, 855-752-4842. My Google isn't broken, so I jumped on there, and what did I find? U.S. Customs and Border Protection website. That's CBP.gov. Criminal non-citizen statistics. Okay. And they have a list here. Fiscal year 17 up to fiscal year 24 year to date. And fiscal year 17, that would be during Trump's administration, 8,500, 18, call it 6,700, 19, 4,200, 20, 2,400, 21, 10,000, 22, 12,000, 23, 15,000, and 24, year-to-date, 15,000. Now, those are criminal non-citizens, refers to individuals who've been convicted of one or more crimes, whether in the United States or abroad, prior to introduction by the U.S. Border Patrol. Does not include convictions for conduct that is not deemed criminal by the United States. And then, so those are the total numbers, but there's also total criminal convictions by type. Ooh, they also have a statistical breakdown. Excellent. I appreciate that.
Helpful.
So, yeah, that is helpful. As one could imagine, I'll just look at fiscal year to date, this number I believe CJ was referring to. Of those 15 some odd thousand folks, 9,500 of them, their crime was illegal entry and re-entry.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's your biggest one. The second, they have an other. What does other mean? Let's see. Other includes conviction not included in the categories. Okay. So there's other convictions. Like 3,000 folks have other. Driving under the influence, 2,577. Okay. Got that. Let's talk about homicide and manslaughter. Now, according to the U.S. Customs and Border Protection, these statistics, 27 out of the 15,608 year-to-date criminal convictions, 27 are for homicide or manslaughter. 27, not 15,000, 27. Now, let's see. According to under 2017, 3, 18, 3, 19, 2, 20, 3, 21, 60, 22, 62, fiscal year 23, 29, and fiscal year to date, 27. Now, is that higher than 17? Sure. But remember, a lot of folks weren't really coming here to that degree, right? 27, not 15,000 murderers. That's not the case. These are folks with criminal convictions. Sure. most of them being for legal, illegal entry mm-hmm. and re-entry.
Yeah, and that's a known thing, you know?
So, CJ, unless you have something that you're looking at that I'm not looking at from, and this is, again, this is from today, fiscal year 24, runs from October 1st of 23 to September 30th of 2024. Last modified, September 16th of 2024. All right, so this is the CBP's own statistics. So I'm seeing your number of 15,000, but I'm seeing 27 convicted of homicide and manslaughter, not 15,000. You big fat liar. Now, unless you got some other numbers, unless you got something else, please edify me. Well, until then, I'm sticking to this.
I did a Google of my own.
Oh, your Google works too?
My Google works too.
What'd yours say?
Well, I only found one source that gave me the same numbers that CJ was giving me. Do we want to take a guess at which site that was? And it's one that's not allowed to legally call themselves news.
Which one was that?
Well, what does this animal say?
What?
Oh, am I dating myself here? Yeah, it was Fox.
It was Fox. and I did see other reporting on it. But I went to the source here, CJ, 27. I was 27. Would you rather have not? Sure. Would you rather have people not? Now, what we don't know is, were those folks, did they serve their time? You know what I'm saying? I mean, you could do the crime. If you do the time, are you absolved of that crime, CJ? But your crime, sir, is telling me there's 15,000 murderers in this country this year under Kamala Harris, when that's not the case. 9,500 arrested for illegal entry and reentry, 27 apparently for homicide and manslaughter. Gordy, you are up next. You will have the last word today. Thank you, Gordy. What do you got for us?
Hey, Dom. Great to hear your voice back on the air.
Thanks, man.
I was gone there for a month, and when I came back, it changed the lineup.
I know, man. The whole world changes, man.
I agreed with you 75% of the time, so I'm not sort of in your wheelhouse. But anyway, I just wanted to call up and thank you for letting CJ voice his opinion on the radio so you can dress him down so appropriately. And every time you let him on the radio and I hear it, I'm donating another $50 to Kamala Harris.
All right.
CJ, go ahead and call in, and I'm going to get my checkbook out, and I'm going to send another $50.
Awesome, Gordy. Appreciate it, man. Love to hear your voice. Love when you tune in and hang out with us here on the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. Man, we're almost out of time.
I know. Where does it go?
Oh, man. So this weekend, folks, I want to let you in on a little secret. Mm. Tomorrow is Steph and mine, our 20th wedding anniversary.
Oh.
Can you believe that? She's put up with me for 20 years. Years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. You lucky.
Good for her.
You lucky lady. Thank you so much. We're going to gonna have a nice weekend. I'm going to go out to dinner, do the whole thing. Lots going on in Milwaukee. Lots going on in the state of Wisconsin. Folks, I hope you get out there, enjoy the weather, have a great weekend, take advantage of all the events, sporting and otherwise. And we will be back here on Monday. I want to thank James Santel, former U.S. Attorney, host of Amicus, a law review. Check him out tomorrow. He's going to dive into some of those stories that we touched on a little bit today in greater detail. Again, that's Amicus, a law review, from 9 to 11 a.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network. Thank you, Jess, for your hard work this week.
Always.
And folks, we will be back doing it all over again. Have a great weekend. We'll see you then.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.